Welcome everybody to today's webinar, Using SharePoint for Your Website, the Good, the Bad, and the Possible. My name is Ted Bodromo, Online Marketing Analyst for Sitecore. I'll be your moderator today. Just a few housekeeping items before we get started. We're recording today's webinar, and we'll send attendees a link to the recorded presentation, along with the PowerPoint slides within a couple days. Feel free to share these with colleagues that couldn't attend today's live webinar. If you have any questions or comments during the live webinar, please post them in the dialog box, your chat window, or via the Twitter discussion using hashtag SiteCoreSharePoint. Before we introduce today's featured speaker, Lars Nielsen, we prepared two interactive survey questions, the results of which Lars will discuss during the presentation. The first question is, how are you currently using SharePoint, or how do you plan to use it? I'm not using SharePoint, but I'm assessing options for internal and external sites. I'm using SharePoint for internal sites only, and another tool for external sites. I'm using SharePoint for internal sites and considering it for external sites. Or I'm using SharePoint for both internal and external sites. Okay, looks like we're getting some responses there. Okay, thanks for your responses. The next question is, in your experience, how well suited do you think SharePoint is for websites? Not suitable, suitable for simpler websites, or suitable for simple and complex websites? Okay, looks like everybody's responded now. We're going to reveal the results as soon as I introduce Lars here, and we'll go over the results with you. So now I'd like to introduce you to our featured speaker today, Lars Nielsen, Sitecore's Senior Vice President of Technical Marketing. Lars has extensive experience as a developer and architect of over 100 high-profile websites, including ABN AMRO, BWIN, Thomas Cook, and Copenhagen County. His 8 years of experience at a leading systems integration and solutions company brings critical end-user and partner perspective to his work at Sitecore. Lars visits major clients in Europe, helps them architect their software solutions integrated with the Sitecore CMS. He works with the management group in defining business needs and the IT department in translating that into appropriate technical architecture and development, all the time working closely with our partners. He's also responsible for forming strategic alliances with the independent software vendors and technology partners. Lars has in-depth knowledge and experience of the .NET framework, XAML, W3C standards such as SOAP, XML, and XSLT. He's in demand on the international speaking circuit and a frequent guest at Microsoft and Sitecore technology summits. Welcome, Lars.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody for joining in. We might as well immediately start showing the results of the two different polls. If we look at the first poll, if we can share that. Excellent. We can see that the majority is not using SharePoint, but accessing it right now. And this is a very common behavior of those participating at this presentation, so there's really nothing new into that. If we could look at the second poll, and that's in your experience, how well suited do you think SharePoint is for different kinds of websites. The majority believes that SharePoint is suitable for simple websites. And as we go through this presentation, that will probably also be confirmed in this presentation. But obviously, it's something that you cannot just say definitively, because SharePoint can be good for complex websites, providing they are of the kind of type you will try to illustrate during this presentation. So we might as well go ahead with the sharing, the presentation of this using SharePoint for a website. A little bit about Sitecore. Sitecore is one of the leading providers of .NET Web Content Management. We have a global presence in different locations where we have fully staffed offices. We have customers in more than 50 different countries right now, running more than 25,000 websites. We do have a number of recognitions, mostly by Microsoft and others who recognize the Sitecore for the technical ability. Amongst those worth to mention would be Gartner, who has put us in the leader of the Magic Quadrant this year. Now, if we go into SharePoint, what is SharePoint really? Well, SharePoint is a portal software, a piece of portal software with core web content management capabilities, meaning it provides a number of features for content management, but it doesn't provide necessarily a lot for web content management. We'll be looking into that a little bit later. SharePoint is also a document management system that comes with a certain level of records management. In this regard, records management is limited in SharePoint to versions, and it is not on every single save. But it has a pretty good basic document management. SharePoint comes with a collaboration space. I would say this is where SharePoint's sweet spot is, ad hoc collaboration, where you can easily, immediately set up a workspace amongst your organization for internal collaboration. SharePoint comes with an integrated search. Again, the integrated search can be replaced with more advanced search capabilities such as Microsoft FAST. SharePoint has obviously built-in security. Security is important, especially when you have collaboration. And that's also how the entire security has been built around SharePoint is document repository-based security. So we'll look into the challenges with that in regards to web content management. And then, obviously, as it's Microsoft, they have a very strong integration with Microsoft Office applications, allowing you to drop Word documents directly onto your collaboration space, into your document management, and edit it. So these systems are all integrated, and obviously that's also part of Microsoft's strategy to give more value to the existing Office products. If we look at the strengths of SharePoint, I would say that it is an outstanding ad hoc collaboration environment. We use it ourselves for collaboration spaces. It's easy to spin up a new collaboration space, easy to set up rights for that. Your work group, you can apply internal communication, you can have basic comments, and then obviously you can have versioning. As in regards to an enterprise content management solution, it's a good start for a document management system, really. It doesn't come with as rich a set of features as you would have with Documentum. Also, it's a fairly good records management. It wouldn't be upholding the laws of if you try to provide a full record management where you have to provide a full record on every single save in the context of the save. But it's good enough as it can easily advance different versions of your documents within the built-in workflow. It's easy to get started with. It certainly is. Once you have your server up and running, you can easily add new sites to it, new collaboration spaces. So it's really the enterprise content management system that is suitable for everybody else who do not have the financial capabilities of buying a dedicated enterprise content management system, which both would require significant investment in software, but also significant changes within the organization and on client PCs. SharePoint comes with a strong integration set, and it comes with a number of reporting tools. So in general, it's a platform that solves general enterprise content management challenges pretty well. The sweet spot of SharePoint would be anywhere where you can use a document management-focused repository, meaning you would work with folders and lists of documents. And that's basically also how SharePoint uses and organizes documents within its, and that could be web content, but also, obviously, physical files. SharePoint has been optimized for classic web publishing scenarios where you edit a specific page, and once you're done with the page, you publish the page. You do not edit assets as such that is combined, all combined, make it into a specific page, but you edit the entire page. SharePoint excels as easily assembled documents and documents that belong to a specific context into a specific page. So that means you could have a page with some content describing the project you're in, and then you could have lists illustrating the content that you're working on, for example, a file list, a list of Excel files, PowerPoints, etc. As it's mostly designed for collaboration spaces and document management, it's also important that you can easily skin the entire product itself in order to reflect the different parts of the organization. And that's what we see very often, even in our own organization, is the different spaces would have its own brand, because that's the way, for example, when we work on a new product, we have documents to the new product, well, we brand it with the logo of the new product within Sitecore. So the ideal scenarios for SharePoint would be intranets and extranets. And bear in mind that when I saw when I talk about intranets and extranets, I talk about collaborative intranets and extranets. So there are two different kinds of intranets and extranets. There are those who is communicative, which could be considered a website. For example, an organization who wish to broadcast to hundreds of thousands of employees different kind of guidelines. So that should be considered a website, really. And then you have those where you collaborate on your content, which is where SharePoint has its sweet spot. Well, how does it stack up to traditional web content management systems? Well, that's a wide-ass question, because there are a lot of different web content management systems on the market. Each of them has its specialities. For example, Sitecore has been optimized for web marketing, web communication. Others would have more collaborative features built into it. So if we try to stack up SharePoint against a web content management with a focus on web marketing, we'll try to stack it up against Sitecore's own content management system. So what is it that people in general want to do on a website? And I know this is an older survey. This is by the end of the year 2008, and it's supposed to last for 2 years. So we are at a time where this could be considered expired, but it's still very much so. You want to retain customers and enhance the relationship with them on your website. And what does that mean? Well, once you have gotten them to your website, you want to communicate more efficiently with them. You want to learn from their experiences and deliver a personalized experience to them. If you can do that, they'll be returning visitors, retaining visitors, and they will also start branding and promoting your product or whatever you have in your organization. Second focus is attracting new customers. So how do you attract new customers? You do that through, obviously, website optimization, search optimization, but also online marketing, creating banners, Google AdWords. It could be on-premises, physical, commercial, pointing to a page. And the system should be able to measure the effects of such activities and such campaigns. And also maintaining the competitive advantage. You do that by having a quicker move on the web, being quicker to react on market changes, and be able to also broadcast to a wider audience, for example, mobile users using televisions to address your website. So what kind of level would we see that websites would usually be at this point? Well, if we look at in general over time how websites have evolved, back in time we had level one websites. There were brochure-like websites where it had it would be a business card on the net with a description of the company, basic information about your product. It was pretty static, you couldn't really search for it. We are way over that now. We have moved at least to level two, where I would consider most websites to be today. Level two would be having much more information. It would have a search engine implemented to the website and basic self-service functionality and interactive functionality. So that would be forms that would allow it to perform certain tasks, such as registration, etc. We see more and more of our customers, I would say many of Sitecore's customers over the last year, has been moving to level three, where they have transactions on the web. Doesn't need to be necessarily e-commerce, but it could be transactions in other forms. It could be a wide customer self-service, so that would be deep integration to back-end systems. And then customization and personalization, and there's a common understanding of customization also being personalization. It's not so. Customization is allowing the user to set up the page, and that's what you basically can do in SharePoint. You can set up a specific page by dragging individual components around. Personalization, on the other hand, is content that's being targeted for your profile. So if you tell the system, the website, that you have specific interests, you start getting this kind of content fed back to you. What we see level four is the website that we also see some of our customers move to. It's the future website. It's the future websites. And what is most interesting here is advanced personalization and multi-channel integration. That's the two focuses we see a lot of our customers move into. Multi-channel integration obviously is serving your content to different devices. And a lot of people might say, yeah, but you know, modern devices such as the iPhone or the Windows 7 phone comes with browsers that is fully capable of rendering a page. But it's also about the experience, and we must realize that the screens, despite you can render, the screens will be small. So you have to design and output your page for the screen state. So that's very much, and that's the fastest growing number of traffic on the net. On top of that, we have advanced personalization. As people navigate around the website, the system should be able to implicitly figure out what kind of persona they are and then start outputting content for that specific user. That's some of the major topics. That's also where we see most other web content management systems with online marketing. That's the kind of systems they want to do. That's the kind of functionality they want to provide in the future. So if you look at SharePoint and stack them up next to Sitecore, from the untrained eye, they would look very much similar. You have websites metrics, you have in-context editing, you do have content reuse, workflows, branding controls, etc. They also have, both systems will claim we have multilingual support, we have multi-device support. But the details really lies in the devils, and I'll go through some of these details later in this presentation. On top of that, web marketing, web content management systems such as Sitecore also comes with other features that is not provided with a SharePoint. Lead scoring, meaning each piece of content can have specific weights, and as the user consumes the content, they absorb those weights and become a persona. Multivariate testing, be able to test different pieces of content on your page to see which is most efficient. Test landing pages, test your emails. Integrated analytics, analytics telling you if the page you're writing is efficient or not, if it hits the right target audience, if your campaign, using campaign management, is your campaigns efficient? Do they hit the right personas? Would they be matching the content? Search engine optimization tools, obviously, it's also important for these kinds of systems. So you look at these systems and they look very similar. But through this presentation, we'll try to go into the details and see when is SharePoint fitting for specific purposes and when would Sitecore, a system like Sitecore, be fitting for these purposes. Now, why is web marketing very much different? Well, obviously, these systems have been designed for marketing specifically, and they do not serve functionality that allow you to build collaboration, etc. into it, because collaboration is all about working in groups and having less rigid designs. Web marketing, you would have high requirement of brand control and adoption, So you should be able to create, spin up a new website immediately, and that website should be able to consume or at least inherit parts of your design or your corporate design. And while allow people to modify the page, it should also be able to limit the design options for individual users. It would require that you can componentize your content, so each piece of content can be used on different devices, different languages, different ways on the website, in different contexts, and also functionality. Some users might see certain functionality, other users would see other functionality. Campaign management and analytics of your campaigns, obviously. Accessibility is a vital thing in when you have a public-facing website, and very much different from when you have a collaborative website, because you know your audience then. You have no requirements from outside. Also, the ability to react on market changes, to easily change your website, not only content, but also functionality, design, without breaking your corporate design. That's some of the things that these systems should be able to do. Multi-device, we talked about that for mobile devices, but it could also be printed material, also multilingual websites. We see that more and more because translation becomes more and more automated, so now it's actually feasible for even small organizations to have their website in a synchronized manner in different languages. So SharePoint has this classic publishing. So that, what is that? It's pages, and the site is oriented toward a document model. So you have a page, and the page might have a number of sub pages, but the page itself is a page. The entire context is a page. If you put something to the other right, for example, a commercial, it's still part of that specific page. And when you publish it, it's kind of branded into the content. So you merge the content and presentation. That's also how you edit the page. If you notice on SharePoint, you cannot edit the menus and the logos when you're on a specific page. You have to do that somewhere else. So you cannot edit multiple pieces of assets or content at the same time, only one page at a time. It comes with some multilingual support. It's much better in 2010 than it was in the past. But it's still really basic functionality that tells you what content has been translated and what content hasn't been translated. So it's not a side-by-side comparison showing you what was changed in a specific version, and what do you have to change in your current version to follow up on the same translation and a one-to-one translation. It makes a lot of sense, really, when you work with intranets and extranets. And it also works well when you have a limited complexity on your website. So that's what we're talking about. And what a lot of people actually during the call were guessing on, or at least that was their perception of SharePoint, that is fine for limited complexity. The entire security is page and document centric, meaning you apply security to the entire page, not objects on a page. So you can't say, well, some users might be able to modify the menu. Other users can only edit the title. Some users can edit the abstract, and the metadata is being handled by somebody different. It's the entire page itself that has security on it. The same goes with the navigation. You apply security to the navigation, and the navigation is fold and hierarchy-based. So that gives you less rigid control on who can create what and where. If you look at web content management systems, which is marketing-oriented, very often they're different. Everything is components, so you do not brand as functionality onto the page itself. It's small pieces of functionality. Content is componentized, so you can reuse content, you can reuse objects on your page across languages, devices, and subsites. On these kind of systems, on SiteCore, you can at least have security down to field level. So you can apply on a document that might have five different fields, title, abstract, body text. You would have some users who would have rights to do certain things, And you could even have security down to who can apply bold, italic, compared to other users. Also, on a system like Sitecore, you can choose where, or you can configure where it would make sense contextually to add documents. So on SharePoint, you have a functionality, so you can move, if I create a news item in the blog section, SharePoint can move that afterwards. On Sitecore, you wouldn't be presented for the option unless you have configured like that. So on a Sitecore solution, you would have to contextually be on the location where it would make sense to create news before you can create news. And this simplifies the process because people would not be presented for a range of options where they can create documents they do not intend to create. If you look at SharePoint, you do have inline editing. And this is one of the things that Microsoft has been going very hard on SharePoint 2010. They now have a ribbon, and it's contextually giving you a context document that gives you the options for that specific area you're in. So if you're on the image, you would have image options down here. And you would have to click the image and then go up and modify whatever you want to modify. But bear in mind that you cannot modify the other documents. For example, if you had the logo up here, if you have these documents, if you wanted to change discussions, that wouldn't be possible. You would have to do that on another location from the advanced content editing. On Sitecore, it looks very much like it. Obviously, we have a ribbon as well. We've had that the last 4 years before Microsoft released Office, the ribbon concept. And in this case, you can navigate to the field. Instead of creating a contextual ribbon, we have decided to move the options as close as possible to the area you're currently editing. Because that makes sense from the user, our experience people tell us. So, but on top of that, at this point, they look very similar. But also then, you can modify other documents. And if I modify the main document and this document, it might trigger not only one workflow, but a series of workflows, one workflow for each asset. SharePoint is optimized for basic layout control, where you have a traditional Microsoft, the way that you assemble pages in Microsoft is you can have a master page, and then you can have child pages that goes into the master page. And I'll illustrate this in a few seconds. So that gives you a very basic way of reusing your design. They, by default, are not designed for accessibility SharePoint pages. Microsoft, in 2007, Microsoft editing tool didn't provide accessible content either. So that made it impossible to create an accessible page. In 2010, you can, because the editor creates accessible content, you can create a design of the website that gives you accessible content. But bear in mind that if you consume content, for example, from an RSS feed, and put that into the context, that is not validated as part of the page. So it is possible that you have controls or content coming from other locations, and that would not be validated as part of the page. Sitecore's web content management, I keep going back to Sitecore, but consider Sitecore and web content management with web marketing features in it. Sitecore has been designed for infinite page reuse, which means you can have any number of sub-designs being moved into each other, not just one level. What we do is we merge the pages on the fly and deliver the output to the user. This also gives us the opportunity to dynamically exchange components if we desire. So, for example, let's test three different controls on a page. Instead of dropping them physically onto the page itself, as you do on .NET, and then that would require a developer. In Sitecore, you decide which controls to put, and that would be the web editor could decide to put a control in the outer right, and then we would dynamically assemble the page. Obviously, because Sitecore has always been doing web content management, the requirements has always been to put a page which is accessible and W3C compliant. So that gives you a very, very clean design of your final outcome of your website. And we do not inject, as Microsoft would do, we do not inject other kinds of HTML onto your page that you may not want. So let's try to see on traditional .NET, how would you assemble a page? Well, if I wanted to achieve these 10 designs, I would first on traditional .NET, hence in SharePoint, I would create a master page, and then I would create 10 different designs, one for each of the designs up here. But I wouldn't need to put these physically into this. That's the kind of master pages and pages can do. So what I would do on this design is I would write which master page it belonged to. And that would, so I would need to do the global branding. And then obviously I would need the controls, which I drag physically into these designs, ASPX pages and .NET. In Sitecore, you have one master page, and then you would create two different subpages. And these two subpages plus these controls could give you all the output that we have above. For example, if I wanted the one in the lower right, I would load the master page, and then I would load controls dynamically into the placeholder, and that would give me this output, because we load everything dynamically. If I wanted a more complex design, for example, the second row, second column, I would first load in the sub-design that splits it into two rows, then the sub-design that splits it into two columns, into one of those placeholders, and then I would load my controls in dynamically. It becomes even more complex if I want to achieve yet another design, for example, another device, because I would need to do all of that again. Then, Mike, I don't know if you remember, but you type into these ASPX pages which master design they belong to. So that means I would have to do this once again. In Sitecore, what you do is you create another master page, and that's all you need to do. And then you reuse the same controls once again to give you the desired outcome of your website. Efficiently, this means that you can, the amount of work you need to do in order to achieve this these output is much less than traditional .NET pages, hence SharePoint. In SharePoint, you need to do 10 times 2 designs and 2 master pages. In Sitecore, you do 2 master pages, 2 sub-designs, and that would be it. And obviously, if I wanted to have support for televisions as well, I would need to do everything once again on traditional .NET. Again, 10 designs plus one master page. In Sitecore, again, it would be yet another master page, and that's it. So that reduces complexity in development. It increases the consistency in your design. And obviously, it also gives you the ability to inject functionality when you assemble the page dynamically. For example, for multivariate tests or for personalization. If the user is of a specific persona, show some content or some functionality. If the user is another persona, show other content or personalization. SharePoint has support for languages and devices. It has increased, the features has increased in the latest version of SharePoint. They handle it through what they call site variations. And a site variation is basically a content structure. So you have a master language where you have your content, say 1,000 documents in your corporate structure. And then you create another language, which is the German version of your website. And you would have to create a similar structure for the German version. They have a tool that allows you to synchronize your changes in the corporate structure down to your local version. But that means efficiently you would have two structures that would be very similar or entirely similar. Instead of having 1,000 documents in your structure, you would have 2,000 documents. They handle, SharePoint handle the same with if you want to have an alternative device. So if you want to output your website, you'll have another site variation. So if I want a PDA version of my English corporate website, I would need to create a site variation with 1,000 documents again and point to another design. And complexity obviously increases, because if I have a lot of languages, say 3 languages, and I have it in web version, a PDA version, and a mobile TV version, that would require me to have 9 similar structures in the content structure of SharePoint. So that means if you look at a site code, for example, you have design has been totally abstracted from the content structure, so you would need to have another content structure. Design would be applied to the devices, and also a piece of content in site core would have could exist in several different languages. So you would have, if you have your website in 3 different languages, US English, German, French, you would only have 1 content item in the content structure in 3 different language versions. That means obviously your complexity of your website, if you do not just have 1 website with device output for 1 device, it becomes to drastically increase the more websites you introduce, the more subsites you introduce, the more devices you introduce, the more languages. In contrast, the way that SiteCore handles these challenges is very different. As I said previously, a piece of content can exist in many different variations, different languages. You only have 1 object in the structure. The system can automatically maintain workflow processes between different languages. There's integration to automated translation, so translation management systems. The simple version would be Google Translate. More complex could be LionBridge or other similar tools, where you pass it on automatically and workflows would be triggered back once the content has been translated. We have support for multiple devices and different languages, and also language sets. So you can, for example, say all languages have to be published at one. So the workflow would make sure that you couldn't publish your corporate version before you also have the translations of the other languages. Obviously, you could also choose to have only parts of your structure synchronized. So the US English and German version would be synchronized, where French would have optional translations. As I also said previously, web marketing-oriented web content management systems then also provide tools that gives you marketing capabilities. Search engine optimization, campaign management tools, website optimization tools, integrated analytics, and lead scoring. If you look at the SiteCore's embedded search engine optimization tool, it goes through, there's a lot of different options up here, it goes through your keywords, your basic settings, if you have broken links, if you have links that do not have, you know, headings. Right now it appears everything looks fine. You can also go in and do a keyword analysis, looking at the chance of your content on the page would have a high value on different search engines. Obviously, 3 word key phrases would have a very high prominence, because that people wouldn't be searching for low light photography very often on Google. And that means if you can have a number of many different recurrent types, this has been on the website on this specific page, you'd have a higher chance of good ranking. So these tools would require help. And we do have help for these tools as well, so you can optimize your website despite not being a search engine optimization person. The system also comes with integrated campaign management. On all pieces of content, you can set up who you believe would be the target audience for this specific piece of content. For example, this webinar, we have a landing page, and we see that we believe that the majority of people who would be joining here would be people with an IT focus. As you hit this page, this is the kind of content you consume. And as you navigate around the website, you may consume other profiles. And at some point, you exceed a threshold, and we would move into a persona, and we can start personalizing for that persona. So if you have been reading 20 pages, and each of them would have an IT focus of 8, then you would have consumed, obviously, 160 points of IT, and that might move you into a specific category. Then all statistics give you the ability to see the outcome of that. So, for example, this is a banner we have on Google, but we have the SharePoint for your website. And we saw on one day we have 50 people clicking this banner. And we triggered four of these, 8% that actually on this day signed in for this webinar using this specific banner. Now, at the same time, these are the goals and these are the outcome of what you also do. So it might also say the users logged in, they signed up for a newsletter, and we'll have that as derived effect of the duration of the stay. But at the same time, we can also see who actually, what was the profile of people visiting the website. And in fact, what we saw, this is pretty surprising, we expected it to be IT joining this webinar, but in fact, marketing, the average person has just as much marketing as it would be IT. Not a lot of people would have executive, so they wouldn't be going into looking at pages such as how to buy, how to find a partner. They wouldn't be doing that at this time, but it would be IT, majority would be IT people and people with a marketing interest. Now, this is a this kind of functionality also exists in other tools. This is one of the campaign tools, email campaign manager, where you edit the entire email as you would edit a web page in Sitecore. You just go to the page, edit the page itself, set up your personalization rule, and as we start pushing out content to the users, we'll be using the implicit personalization. So imagine a scenario where you have been navigating around the Sitecore website and looking at a specific page, number of different pages, then we have your persona. And I fit in on my page a personalization rule to the other right saying if the user is has an IT focus showing a story on an IT. That means each time we generate an email for a user, that would be personalized for that specific user. Obviously, we get the traditional statistics back on who has been clicking, bouncing, etc. But the interesting part really comes with it's integrated to what they do afterwards on after they've been clicking. Did they sign up for an instant demo? Did they take a business tour, developer tour? So we see also the derived outcome of what they did after they've clicked the link. We have integrated analytics that analyzes and looks up the company name of those visiting the website. That list can be used to first of all go into the details on what kind of people have been visiting the website, what's the profile. You set that up by setting up the profile we saw that previously, so you move up 5 to marketing, IT executive. And then obviously that is also integrated into Microsoft CRM. So if somebody signs up on the Sitecore website for the webinar, they're automatically created in the Microsoft CRM, Sitecore Microsoft CRM. It could also be Salesforce, other CRM systems. And then the users, our salespeople, could go to that specific company name, look up, see who has been on the website, what kind of profile do they have, what's the persona of that user, how many people, despite the only thing they've been doing is coming to the website. Obviously, these lists are also being passed to our salespeople every single day. This is the Danish people, the Danish sales staff that receive this list. And then they have, it's not just sorted by the number of pages they've been looking at, but the value they have assembled. So in fact, you can also have value for salespeople on every single page. And this gives our salespeople a competitive advantage. What is possible with SharePoint? Well, SharePoint is pretty good at intranets. it's good at pretty good at extranets if they have collaborative and simple brochureware. I'm not talking about PDF files, but sites which has very basic capabilities where it's a number of pages, pages only that has low visual complexity. And then obviously what you can do with SharePoint. Candy is a very cool website built on SharePoint. So SharePoint can build websites that are very cool and very advanced. But remember also that SharePoint is a platform, and with enough resources, money, anything can be done. So we believe that the sweet spot is for SharePoint sites would be prospecting, basic presence. But if you want to move to business integration with personalization, customization based on the user's behavior, multi-channel integration to level 4, you would definitely consider something different. But then, obviously, choose SharePoint for your collaboration spaces. As we said previously, it's an outstanding ad hoc collaboration platform. It's pretty good at enterprise content management. And then integrate it. So if you have your content on your SharePoint, integrate it to your public-facing websites using some of the tools. And most of these tools would have integration to different document management systems. On SitePoll, when we integrate to SharePoint, we have the ability to have any SharePoint list and visually combine that into your SitePoll website. And that would also give you the different, if I do this merge, and that's a tool we have for that, so I have a live connection, so if I edit something in SitePoll, it would be immediately moved into your team site. If I move something on a team site, I would see it immediately in my SharePoint website, in my SitePoll website. But at the same time, we also apply the benefits of a web-based content management system, for example, all the marketing features we saw previously, measuring the effectiveness of this piece of content. Same goes with physical files, obviously. This is a file list in SitePoll, in the media library of SitePoll. This is how the file list would look. And as you can see, we have now warnings because we immediately know that this is for a website and therefore you need to fill out the alt tag, et cetera, et cetera. You do that using a connection tool that allows you to immediately set up the different lists. You point to the SharePoint server, you say, I want to move this list into a specific location in your content structure. Once you've done that, you have the list and you can start modifying content and push it to your website. Obviously, a lot of people consider part of SharePoint is the ability to drag and drop the customization part. But in fact, this customization part is the .NET Web Part framework. So it's unrelated to SharePoint, and therefore, obviously, that would also be available in the traditional SitePoll website. You can also choose to show your content from SharePoint directly on your public-facing website. I will not go into the details of that, but that would give you the ability to create basic document capabilities and collaboration capabilities directly on your website for extranet websites as well. So just a few considerations to put on SharePoint. If you want to move to SharePoint 2010, be aware that you also need to acquire and update your SQL servers. You cannot run 32-bit versions of your SQL server. So you'd have to not only upgrade the OS and your SharePoint, but you'll also have to upgrade your SQL server farms as well with the complexity that might give because other solutions may not run compliant with 32-bit, 64-bit versions of your SQL server. So you might have to reinvest in an entirely new SQL Server farm. So the summary, SharePoint is a great platform. We're using it ourselves. It's best for collaboration spaces. It's great for it's good for enterprise content management. When you use it for web content management, use it for basic websites. Otherwise, consider best of breed solutions that has been optimized for the task, and then integrate to it. And with that, I think we are done. We do have a few additional resources. You'll also be able to get this within the next couple of days once we release this video recording. So I think we are done now, and I'll hand it over to the moderator.
Thank you, Lars, for an outstanding presentation. And we got some great questions that came in during the presentation. And I want to encourage everybody, if you have any questions, you can ask them through the webinar question window, the chat window, or through Twitter at hashtag Sitecore SharePoint. So if we don't answer all of your questions here, we'll get back to you on an individual basis. So one of the questions that came in, should we decide on Sitecore or SharePoint for a public site dependent on expected marketing capability of the site? If so, where do we draw the line between the website and the marketing capabilities?
Thanks. It's really a great question, and I think we kind of touched on that previously because we looked at where the sweet spot was on SharePoint. I think if your SharePoint website, if you do have a basic capability as your website, I have no immediate plans on moving to the next level of level 3 or level 4, I would definitely consider SharePoint because you have it in your infrastructure, or at least a lot of people have it. But I would also say one of the things that we see is more and more prominent is if you want to cater the needs of mobile devices, that's really a problem with SharePoint. And I would say that most people should really take this challenge seriously because that's the quickest growing devices on the net. I mean, mobile devices is right now, I think it's count for 35% of all traffic, and it's rapidly growing. In Japan, it's almost 80%. So you can't really, you cannot cater for those needs. You shouldn't expect people to just use a browser. So you either have to take on the challenge of, if you have low complexity on your website, yes, you might use SharePoint also for multi-device, but if as your design progresses, you should definitely consider alternatives.
So does that mean that Sitecore isn't used for intranets?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, especially I would say for intranets, we do have a lot of our customers using Sitecore for for communicative intranets. So assuming, for example, you have an organization where you want to broadcast information to thousands and thousands of users, and not so much allow them to contribute and share document spaces, etc., you'll be using SharePoint for that, the collaboration. But communication on the internet would be handled through a web content management system because you have to target different audiences. You have to measure the effectiveness on those reading the content and consuming the content.
Do businesses often use Sitecore as a WCM and an intranet?
Yes, that's something that we have. Obviously, when Microsoft went out with SharePoint and told everybody that it was great for everything, it was best of breed for everything, we had a lot of people either choosing between Sitecore or SharePoint. But we now see, also together with Microsoft, we see that we more and more often combine these tools. And I think that some of the things that we have seen growing rapidly is our customers using both SharePoint for collaboration and collaboration only, and then Sitecore for anything that has to do with communication. Sometimes we see still some customers choose Sitecore or SharePoint also for collaboration, but our recommendation is if you have advanced collaboration criteria, go for SharePoint. If you have advanced marketing or high complexity in the website, you need to cater multiple languages, devices, or you want to have marketing capabilities, you should choose Sitecore. You can use both of these, and they work well together.
Great, Lars. Thank you. It's been a fantastic webinar. I want to thank everybody for participating in today's webinar. As a reminder, we're going to email you a link to this presentation. You'll get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation and the recorded video of this webinar. Thanks again for attending, everybody.